It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's back-to-school season in Wisconsin, and as students kick off a new school year, the State Department of Health Services reports that vaccination rates among students have gone down over the last year. That rate has been around 89% over the last few years, dropping from around 92% in the years before COVID.
How are school nurses dealing with vaccination concerns and preparing for the upcoming school year? Jamie Trebetuski is a school nurse for the School District of Waupaca. Jamie also leads the Wisconsin Association of School Nurses. Jamie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We have these new numbers from the state now, about 11%, almost 11% of school-age children not meeting those minimum vaccination requirements for attending school. That's a worse number than usual. What are your thoughts on that? What does this end up meaning?
Yeah, so it's always concerning when you see a drop in numbers like this. But when you really kind of look back at the data, we've had a change from about 92.5% around the 14-15 school year to this new number of this 89.2 for this oncoming school year. It has been a gradual decline over time. And there's just a lot of places where people can get information nowadays. And unfortunately, sometimes that information isn't always accurate, but it certainly comes from a place where parents are trying to do the best thing for their kids. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where sometimes when they're running into places where they're getting information that meets some predisposed conceptions of what they already feel about it, it's dropping that rate a little bit further.
People might hear, okay, a drop of 3% in vaccination rates. 3% doesn't sound that big, but we're kind of playing a numbers game here, right? If there's one kid unvaccinated for, say, measles, well, they can't spread that. If there's two, well, there's two people who can spread, and it's exponential. The more unvaccinated kids, the more shots that measles has to spread, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think measles is a great example. When you're talking about that kind of catchphrase of herd immunity, that rate of herd immunity is different depending on how contagious a disease is. Measles, I believe, is because it's so contagious, it's someplace around 95% you'd have to have vaccinated in order to really kind of stop it or prevent it from spreading. So really, when you look at the data, we've always had difficulty with that one in particular, because it is so highly contagious. And we just have seen that outbreak in a much lower vaccinated population just across the border in Minnesota. So, you know, that is concerning. And the more those rates drop, especially if, you know, measles is one thing because it's so contagious, but we'd have an easier time stopping things with our rates if they remained high. But yeah, it is concerning, and it's still something to be watching, and it's a great thing to be collecting data on and making sure we're trying to move that metric absolutely as much as we can.
As a school nurse, do you have the opportunity to talk to parents, whether individually or as a group, about vaccinations?
I would say it's definitely individual. This is the time of year we're reaching out to families because we are required to put a report into the state where we have to be over 99% compliant on either children being fully vaccinated or the parents having a waiver on file. We are having those conversations every fall for a couple of months where we're getting that information, helping get students updated. And in conversations I've been having in the last few days, I think that is where those opportunities occur, because people now, if you've been in a district for a while, you have those relationships, people trust you, and there's that opportunity where the door opens and they say, what is your opinion on this? Or what do you think about that? Or I've heard this, what do you know about that? And it's definitely individual, so I think that progress is slow. But I would say in the 10 years I've been doing it, I've definitely seen those opportunities to have those conversations with parents who I've made relationships with and trust me.
Talk a little more about what these conversations are like, because the impression I'm getting from what you've said so far is you don't go into this as an adversarial, right? It's not you against them, and it's an argument. How do you approach these conversations?
Well, I guess in my nursing career, I think I probably have learned patience probably through trial and error. And I think one of my catchphrases has always been an educated patient is a compliant patient, is a happy patient. You don't want to be forcing things on anybody. And people who understand the why and the how are really a lot more compliant with their plan of care and with what needs to happen to make them healthier. So kind of, as I said, I think it's everybody kind of has to earn their stripes of trust. And so as their children are running into different scenarios or at school where I'm contacting them, or the child is diagnosed with something, or they're needing advice or a place to sound something off of, then they've learned my breadth of experience and capacity and professionalism. And then they are more likely to come back when something like immunizations come up and say, hey, what are your thoughts on this? Because I've established myself as somebody who's an expert within my own field. And that helps.
You mentioned one reason somebody might not be vaccinated if parents have become skeptical of vaccines for whatever reason. How about just information? Maybe somebody just moved. They don't know about the requirements. They don't know where to go for vaccinations yet. Or maybe English is a second language. They just don't have direct contact with that kind of information. How much of a factor is that?
Yeah, I think that is. Those are conversations we fortunately get to start in on pretty early in that enrollment process when people are new to our state. In the state of Wisconsin, we do have a whole year before they kind of count on our rolls towards that compliance number. But that gives us a whole year to make sure that we're connecting them with those local resources. If they're coming from another state, whether differences from one state to another, or certainly if they're coming from another country, what those differences are from their home country to another. And I've seen a lot of those families from both different states or different countries really prepared with having what they need and ready to engage in that conversation. And we've had really good results linking with our county resources, our county nurses, and making sure that we're getting those families' needs met.
Getting back to measles, we were looking at the CDC data. We're not too bad in Wisconsin, at least not right now, but we saw our neighbors, Minnesota, Illinois, have some higher rates of measles compared to the country as a whole. As we get back to another school year, do you kind of worry that, you know, something like measles might be breathing down our neck?
Yeah, you know, I was watching all that stuff. You know, it's ironic, even before the COVID pandemic hit, that was something that we were always tracking. I think that, unfortunately, people think of school nurses as somebody who's doing just Band-Aids and bumps and bruises and things like that. And it's much, much more complex. They don't think of it as a subspecialty like an ICU or an ER, but, you know, we're actually functioning very high in our own realm of subspecialty in what we've got going on. So I'm always tracking those illnesses. Even before the pandemic, like I was saying, I was tracking those ILI sheets that the Department of Health and Human Services puts out, which is the influenza-like illness, and watching things as they come in. So we're always out here, and we're always monitoring those things as they touch on our borders, and monitoring things for students who have issues with immunity. There are some kids who may even need infusions if they have poor immunity of certain factors, if they are concerned that the child might be exposed to something that would typically be a live virus vaccine. Not all kids can get those. So, you know, then we have to make sure that we're helping keep those families in touch with what their child needs. So I'm always watching it, always hoping that it doesn't end up hitting the fan like it has in the past. But yeah, we're out here watching, and we're ready to be helping. We're ready to be helping people when they need us. So
as we get back to another school year, apart from, you know, measles we've talked about, you just mentioned influenza and influenza-like respiratory illnesses. What else keeps you up at night as we come into a school year and you're watching for what might show up in students this fall?
Everything is that I'm going into my 11th school year. Everything kind of has its season. You know, spring is always rashes, so we got through that. Fall, you know, typically we're back into a little bit of hand, foot, and mouth and other certain things like that. Unfortunately, some of those more intestinal bugs hit us usually by October. But as we start a new school year, I'm usually really thinking about my higher needs kids, the kids who are more medically complex and who a lot of people don't think of when they think about students in schools. So I'm always thinking about those students and what's changed over those last couple of months and what new challenges and opportunities we have with those particular student populations as our new school year starts.
We are talking about back to school health and school vaccinations with Jamie Trebetusky, Wapaka school nurse and president of the Wisconsin School Nurses Association. Jamie, I want to talk about your role now as president of the School Nurses Association. Big picture, do we have enough school nurses in our schools? Are they stretched too thin?
No, we don't have enough. And I think anybody who's had an unfortunate experience, maybe where they've been inpatient, right, recently, they've experienced that across healthcare, is that unfortunately we're spread rather thin with staffing levels right now. And the same is true in your schools and your communities. I think it's best reports we're able to get, it's only about 75% of schools across Wisconsin have a school nurse. And people who think that doesn't make a difference if that person's what level training they have, whether it's an EMT or a CNA, absolutely makes a difference if that person has a degree in nursing. And there's not enough. And the degree level of that person and their background and capacity to function at the highest level of their degree makes a big difference too. So.
And then we had some federal pandemic relief money that might have helped things. That's coming to an end now. We're hearing that school districts are considering budget cuts, and that could include more limits on the number of nurses. Are you seeing, as you talk to people around the state, these positions being cut or, as you mentioned, maybe scaled back to somebody with less training?
I hear of some of it. I hear of some of it, you know, off and on through time. Yeah, I think definitely those ESSER funds helped. And that's part of why, as an organization, we're trying to educate legislators on that reimbursement that we spoke with to you guys in the spring when we were in Madison, that right now the state of Wisconsin is only returning 60% of that funds back to schools, whereas 100% of it is going back when those students are in birth to three programs and getting service through the county. So we're really hoping in this next cycle we can get some traction on getting that reimbursement rate for schools matching. When you look at places like Healthy Schools, who really kind of live in that data, there's Wisconsin's an outlier on that percentage that schools are getting reimbursed. So we'd really like to see that specific funding for services that are already being provided help supported for schools so that it's easier for them to continue to hold those positions because they have that direct revenue stream.
You mentioned your career, Jamie, leading up to this. Can you talk about your career as a nurse and what led you to say, hey, I want to take these skills and put them into use in the Wapaka schools?
Well, I actually started in Milwaukee. I spent the first part of my career in internal medicine pulmonary at Frederick Hospital, then in emergency medicine and trauma. Then I was in primary care and case management in central Wisconsin, and also still moonlighting in the ER, which was my first love. And then after a decade, I felt I had enough experience with seeing kind of a jack of all trades, a lot of background and a lot of different medical complexity that I felt I could serve my community and serve children in that capacity. So it's a big job, me versus 1200 on some days, but it's, I really love it. I love being challenged and I love trying to rise to those challenges. So it's been great.
Talk us through a day on the job as a school nurse. And I won't say typical day. I'm going to guess there is no such thing, but what might a day on the job look like as a school nurse?
Well, I have direct cares with medically complex kids who have need for my special skill set and training. And then it is also kind of supporting, in my district, we have health aides who work under our licenses, where they're kind of calling us in for this whole, is it concussed? Is it broken? Is it contagious type of thing? And then networking with families to make sure that they're educated on what's going on with their children while they're away from their parents during the school day. So it's all that in between. So the direct care of children and making sure that those direct care points are taken care of for the kids who need that skill set, and then handling whatever comes up throughout the day is what comes next, and supporting teachers. I'm a resource for the staff a fair amount of the time too. And I'm amazed every day at the professionalism and capability of my coworkers. And I'm happy to try to remove that, the lens of the health needs of the students away from them so they can better do their jobs.
For somebody who's currently a nurse in whatever field or a nurse of the future, do you want to make a pitch to at least consider becoming a school nurse?
I think it's one of the places where it's probably you're the most out there alone working underneath your professional license, but it is so rewarding to be working at the top of your professional capacity and using your skill set to make students and your community healthier and be a resource for people in that way. It's really an amazing subspecialty within the field of nursing.
let's bring things around to kids and vaccines as we head into the school year. I'm a parent. My kids are out of the school system now. But there's a lot of bureaucracy in parenting. I'm pretty sure we kept all with all our vaccines, but I know I had moments just like, are we up to date? Are we ready for September? Give some advice for parents, like if they're not sure if they're up to date on vaccines, how do they figure it out? How do they know what they need to get done?
Sure, that's a great question. So the Wisconsin Immunization Registry actually gives parents access to their child's immunization history so they can see it there. Usually every now platform within, if they've got like some type of My Chart through whatever their organization is locally where they go to the doctor, usually will have immunizations as part of that. And they should probably be able to see what they are due for or what's upcoming with their child's needs. And then always a good idea to get in for those annual wellness visits. You know, it's always better to stay ahead of issues before they occur. And primary care providers are there to take care of those needs and make sure they're looking for those things before problems arise.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you the biggest, most difficult question as a parent of kids in school, the question of, is my kid too sick to send to school? What can you give us some basic advice? This is too sick. This they can rock and roll and come on in.
Well, I can't speak for every school district because it is local control in Wisconsin. So every school district has their own policy. So certainly check with your school nurse and your health services guidelines. But I would say in general, we don't want your kid at school if you have been vomiting or having diarrhea in the last 24 hours. We don't want you at school if you have a fever in the last 24 hours. You need to be fever-free without help of Tylenol or I should say acetaminophen or ibuprofen. And if your child is not, you know, well enough to attend, you know, certainly that's the other outlier. If they've got something that's fever, vomiting, diarrhea, or they're just not well enough to be at school. If they can't sit down and in a desk and do the things that their teacher is going to be asking them to do because they just need a little bit more time to convalesce, then just please let them stay home and rest one more day before they come back.
Jamie, thanks for joining us and have a happy and healthy school year.
Yes, thank you so much.
Jamie Trebetuski is president of the Wisconsin Association of School Nurses and a school nurse for the School District of Waupaca.